You're listening to the Active Together podcast, brought to you by Get Out, Get Active, also known as GOGA.
Hi, welcome. It's the latest Active Together podcast with me, Sam Lloyd. And today we're talking about a very, very special garden in Wiltshire and the huge impact GOGA has had. So I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest, Andy Powersland. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining on our Active Together podcast, because I want to hear all about this very special garden. But before that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to find this garden in the middle of Wiltshire.
I'm 67 this year. I joined the Royal Navy straight from school, and I served for 12 years. I served in the Falklands. I got married, met a naval nurse, got married and left, and did various jobs around. I was in the medical branch, so I did various jobs around that, training and development for social services and the NHS, and eventually fell into education and was teaching. So that's really my sort of background. And I became involved with the garden through a group called the Veterans Breakfast Club. And the remit is they organise a breakfast once a month. And we go to the White Hart in Salisbury. We have coffee and tea. We have a good breakfast. We sit around and talk rubbish at each other. and you know, just get together. So that was my, that's how I started, I guess, getting involved. Because the breakfast club in Salisbury is very intertwined with a charity called Elabre. And again, I think that's a fairly local West Country / Wales charity. And it does a lot for veterans, for homeless people, for young people leaving care, that sort of thing. So the breakfast club does what it says on the tin. It has a breakfast once a month. But because it's very active around Salisbury, it does other things as well. So we have a coffee morning once a week. And the coffee morning is held at Elabre at their headquarters. So occasionally people turn up there because they know there's a lot of veterans there. There's lots of people there. They turn up and give a talk on various things. So people like Operation Courage have turned up to talk about mental health. And then one morning, Becky turned up. Very appropriately named Becky Twig, who's a gardener.
It's a good name, isn't it?
Brilliant. One of these names you've got to be, have you? She turned up and talked about starting a community garden at Arundel's. So that was my involvement. That's where I first heard about it. So she turned up, gave a little chat about Arundel's and said, is anybody interested in being a volunteer? And I thought, yes, I am.
And were you always interested in gardening, or was this something quite new from your perspective as a hobby?
It's quite new. My father was always a very keen gardener, with a big garden, had an allotment. You know, that's what people did in those days, wasn't it? But I was never interested. Perhaps I was more interested in knowing more about. And it was a good way of getting out of the house, of doing something different. I actually, as I said, I was in the Royal Navy, met a naval nurse. It was like 1980, isn't it? A long time ago. And she actually passed away a couple of years ago, totally out of the blue. She wasn't ill. She'd had, I think like a lot of women, perhaps a breast cancer scare, but come through that.
Right.
But she came home from work. She was working as a midwife and just sat opposite me at the supper table and said, because I cooked supper, she said, well, it's very nice, Andy, thanks, but I've got no appetite. I've got a terrible headache. And she used to have what they call migraines. So I dashed upstairs, got a migraine tablets, and I came downstairs and she was on the floor.
Oh, Andy, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So she sort of died 2 days later in hospital. And a chap called Matt Long from the Defence Medical Welfare Service works around the district hospital in Salisbury. And my son had been in contact with him. And he actually phoned me up and said, you know, I won't ask how you are because that's such a stupid question. What are you up to? And I said, like, I need to get out the house. I can't sit in the house all day. I've got things to do, the admin and sorting out, but I need to get out. And I've been going for a walk. And he said, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, I'll bring the dog and we'll go for a walk. And bless him, he turned up and we went for a walk. And he said, I'm not a counsellor or anything like that. If you want to talk, that's fine. If you want to just have some fresh air, that's fine. So that's what we did. And then he said to me, Armed Forces Veterans Breakfast Club. They meet for coffee at 11 o'clock at a Labre. And he said, I'll see you there.
What a great friend. What a great friend.
Absolutely. That's just what I needed.
Special. Yeah.
Just what I needed, because I wouldn't have done anything otherwise. I'd have just sat there.
In a kind of way, it's tough love. It was forcing you to get out and speak to people and find people, a group with a common interest, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you've got that, because that was absolutely it. I wouldn't have gone otherwise.
Yeah.
But he said, I'll see you there at 11 o'clock. So I thought,
I need to shake that man by the hand. He's a special man.
He's a very special man. So I turned up and he said, introduce me to some people. And I started going to the breakfast club, the coffee morning. Then when I got a bit braver, I went to the breakfast. You know, I worked my way up. So that's how I got into the elaborate / breakfast club thing. And then, as I said, Becky turned up and said, I'm starting the garden at Arundel's in the Cathedral Close. Is anybody interested? And I thought, yes, I am, because it's outside. I need to get out. It's outside. It's fresh air. It's something I'm interested in. And it's that thing about, you know, meeting other people, isn't it, and getting out, not just staying at home.
And also, Andy, don't you find nature is incredibly sensory? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I find it quite soothing, you know, to be out there, come rain or shine.
Yeah.
It's like a band of brothers, you know, the common theme. You've obviously made some tremendous friendships with this.
You're
doing good as well. And it's kind of a bit of a legacy for your dad, isn't it? Because obviously he was an avid gardener.
He loved his garden. He loved his allotment. He loved working with his hands and doing those things. You know, he's an engineer. And this is his escape from that, you know, from the oil and the dust or whatever.
Yeah.
Was his garden. And as you said, it's a very special place. It's you know, it's in the Cathedral Close in Salisbury.
Stunning backdrop.
it was one of the most beautiful places in England a while ago. It's very peaceful. It's very quiet. We go into the Cathedral Close. The actual Cathedral Close itself is gated, is walled. You know, it's still got the medieval wall around it. And they still lock it, I think, at midnight.
Right.
I'm not sure what happens if you live in the close, but they actually lock some of the gates. There's, you know, so you have to be out, you know.
Yeah.
Very mellow. It's very quiet. It's very peaceful. And Arundel's is Edward Heath's old house, the Prime Minister.
Yes.
He lived in Salisbury. So he's got this beautiful house. And it's a beautiful house. It's not like a too big, you know, like a huge mansion. It's not too small. You could visualize yourself living there, you know, if you ever won the lottery. It's a beautiful house. And got beautiful gardens running out to the river at the back. And what we have is, I think it was the old kitchen garden, because there's a walled area at the side. So you're going by the side of the house. And it's just as you said, it's stunning. You come into the Cathedral Close. It's very mellow, isn't it? It's very quiet. It's very peaceful. There are kids playing there, you know, in the close. I take my grandchildren down there sometimes because it's you know, it's warm.
Do they enjoy it?
They run berserk because there's no there's hardly any traffic. It's sort of walled, the green is walled off, and they just run berserk, you know, and when they're smaller, you know, when they're sort of two or three or something, all they want to do is sort of run around with a stick and chase pigeons.
Do they help with the gardening?
Yes. So the garden's at the side of the house. It was totally overgrown when we got there. So we've spent some time digging it out. And it's very, like you said, it's physical work, isn't it?
Yes.
With friends. And yeah, I've made some really good friends there. We're working together. We make a cup of tea. The emphasis, Becky said, it's a community garden. So it's community first.
That's the key word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. We turn up, the kettle goes on, we have a cup of tea. We think about what we're going to do for the day. We have a chat about what people have done. I think nearly everybody who turns up, because I go on a Thursday, is an ex-veteran, is a veteran, ex-forces of some sort. And there's that banter, that sense of humour, you know, that Karen's in the army, so she takes a mickey out of me when I was in the Navy.
I love
the guy
that.
Who was in the RAF, you know, it's just that.
Fabulous.
Very gentle.
And tell us, you obviously started in essence with a blank canvas because it was overgrown, but tell us a little bit about the sessions and give us a bit of a vibe of what the garden looks like now, because of course you get to a point where you create something, but of course you meet on a weekly basis for the upkeep now, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, so there was not really much there. There were some older plants that we saved. There was a medlar tree, which is some sort of rather old-fashioned fruit.
Okay.
There were some figs by the wall that had gone mad and some vines. So we sort of cut those back, trimmed them, kept those. But the rest was all overgrown. So we basically started at one end and just dug our way back and dug up all the weeds and dug it over. And Becky had a vision. She does the community garden. She's done several gardens around Salisbury. So she had a plan.
Okay.
There was no greenhouse left there, so we kept that. We've dug it all over. We've made a pond for the wildlife. We've kept some of it as made it into a wildlife meadow.
Oh, lovely.
Lots of, you know, native British plants for the birds and the bees. Put in a couple of bird boxes. What do they call it? A bee hotel.
Yes, love that.
Yeah. Put in some raised beds, and we spent a lot of time putting down some matting to make it accessible for people with a wheelchair. So so the raised beds are accessible. It's all accessible. You can get in with a wheelchair. You can get to the back where we've got our little potting shed and the kettle, which is not obviously the most
for the tea.
Yeah. There's a potting bench. And it's at two heights, so someone with a wheelchair can get in. They can get access to the raised beds, you know, and there has been somebody down in a wheelchair. So it's really
brilliant. It's inclusive. Absolutely inclusive as an area for people to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, it's in the Cathedral Close. There's the local army regiment is the Rifles. So they've got a big museum next door with gardens going down to the river. And the same thing, there's a tree in there. And someone told me that was planted to commemorate the Battle of Trafalgar.
Wow. So
massive old tree, you know.
History there.
Full of history. It's full of a surprising amount of wildlife, you know, since it's in Salisbury, it's a city, you know, but there's a surprising amount of wildlife there. It's lovely.
And it's physical work. I mean, it's not only the community spirit, the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
You're getting a bit of a workout as well on a weekly basis.
Absolutely. The digging, the original, you know, the digging was very hard. And I don't know, perhaps because we're veterans, we went out very gung-ho. Let's get stuck in here. And Karen.
Endurance, not a sprint.
Yes. And then, I think it was Karen. Set an alarm clock. He said, we are going to dig. You're going to dig for 20 minutes. And now we're going to stop.
And have a cup of tea.
Yes. Or a chat or a biscuit or something like that. And it's learning to pace yourself. Mm. It's that inclusive. It's being it's done a lot of different things for me, isn't it? It's part of the week, isn't it? It's a routine, yes. Diary. It's part of that part of the week. I go there that day. You know you're going to meet people, no matter how low you are or whatever. You're going to meet somebody. You have some human contact. You know, you're going to have a chat, a bit of banter, a cup of tea. We're going to do some work, depending on the time of year. You know, there's not so much to do now, obviously. But there's, you know, plants to pot, there's things to wash up, there's things to clean.
Always stuff to do.
Always stuff to potter about and do. And, it's in the Arundel grounds. And the Arundel house, you know, next door is, we have access to their kitchen to get milk out of the fridge and things like this. And it's, again, part of that wider community because they have volunteers there that work in the house.
Right, yeah.
And now we're included in their Christmas lunch and all this sort of stuff. So you're getting part of that wider, you know, wider Salisbury community that you've never met before.
And be honest with me, Andy, how would you say it's helped you with your confidence?
A lot, because I didn't really want to talk to people. You know, I wanted to get out of the house and get away, but I didn't really want to talk to people at all. And as I said, I started going and sort of sat in the corner and had a coffee and chatted to a couple of people, and you get
just more used to it, don't you? It's baby steps, isn't it? In terms of the progression. Every step is an achievement.
Yes. Yeah. And then now I find that the coffee morning, I'm actually going in early and putting the urn on, getting the kettle out and helping, you know, rather than just being part of the audience. Yeah.
And it's taking you out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah.
So everything is a progression.
Yes. And it's a progression thing because you're part of the gardening team. Mm. Karen, who manages the Boots on the Ground, bless her, said, you need to fill out this form. Okay. And you need to get TBS checked, is it the?
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, okay then. Seems a bit odd for a bit of gardening, but I'll do that. I filled all that. She said, congratulations, Andy. You're now a volunteer. You're now a buddy.
Can I say I want to meet Karen? She sounds like quite a character.
She is. She's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. There's some great people there, you know. So she said, yeah, congratulations, Andy. You're now a buddy-to-buddy volunteer. So, I said, what does that mean? She said, well, it means just turn up, dig in, help other people. And I guess she said, you know, be almost a role model. I don't like to say that, but, you know, the progress you have made. Because we do have people turning up who are younger, obviously, have gone through Afghanistan, in Iraq, have lots of other mental or physical injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, as I said, a library do a lot for veterans. So these guys have been living on the streets, really. And they've now got a room in a shared house, a hostel that a library supports. But they don't want to spend their life in a room, do they?
No.
So some guys come down to the garden to get fresh air, and
you make a really valid point, because sometimes you think veterans denotes an older generation, but of course it doesn't, which shows how inclusive this club is from all different age groups. Of course you're also enjoying it with your grandchildren, so it's the kind of the next generation, something that you can take them to and spend time with them in that kind of lovely nature environment with the wildlife and the plants and the space.
And the space. And and the grandchildren obviously enjoy it. Max and Toby are twins. They're not identical, but they are twins. They're chalk and cheese. Max especially really, really loves it. He's that much more active, outdoor-y type of boy who wants to run, to be occupied. But it's not just him. He said he enjoys it. And he came down and he palled up with a guy. This is where I'd use his name, I guess, Steve, isn't it? And him and Steve were like best buddies instantly. I think this guy's got kids he doesn't see, you know, and... So he piled up with Max, sort of tagged along with him,
How old's Max?
He was about 4 at the time, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And we were doing the makeover and we're digging a pond. So Steve and I are digging a pond. And Max bustled in and sort of pushed me out. And then he stood there with Steve and they were digging a pond. And this, you know.
Yeah, brilliant.
They just hit it off, yeah, yeah.
And in fairness to Becky, this was her kind of vision.
Yes, yes.
To rally the troops and get fuel. But it's without doubt grown and developed. And what kind of impact has GOGA had, would you say, on this?
Well, it's always the funding, isn't it? It's always the funding to get these things going. So Becky had got some funding to start it off, but we needed more funding. She needed more input. I think it was a bigger project than she thought. And none of us were actually gardeners. We all turned up and we were all keen. But none of us knew a dandelion from a rose. You know,
a weed from a flower.
Yeah.
I'd be rubbish.
You had to pull us back. You know, sterilize
don't cut it.
Chop everything down, you know. we're not making a desert, you know.
That's the remit.
So she needed that input, that remix. And that's made all the difference as well, because she runs other community gardens. So, you know, going up to see those as well, you know, having a walk, getting outside. The matting, I think, was funded by as well, had to be funded. You know, we can turn up and we can dig for nothing. There are some old tools in the shed, but the matting, you know, so the wheelchair can come in.
Yeah,
I mean, this stuff is expensive, isn't it? We need quite a lot. The liner for the pond, and bits and pieces. Becky's, you know, running another garden, so she's got free plants from some people. We do need to buy some stuff as well, don't you? Some bits and pieces. So,
I'm loving hearing your personal journey, which I think sometimes that's used a bit too often, but this really is a personal journey.
Yeah.
So, Andy, anyone watching or listening to this podcast, what would you say to them in terms of maybe groups in their area in the UK?
Do it. Just do it. You don't get anywhere, do you, by sitting at home? I did that. I sat at home. I can, you know, equate with that. I understand that. We have to get out. We're social people, aren't we?
Yes.
We're social animals. Some people are more sociable than others, you know, but we all need that human contact. None of us are hermits. We all need that. I wanted to tell you another story about the kids, because Max and Toby turned up and one of the women, I won't mention her name, was feeling a bit low. She'd had a lot of stress at work and was feeling a bit depressed. And it was quite a sunny day. And these two boys turned up, a bit older by then, just 5-ish, I think. And she said, because she had children of her own, she said, "Would you like to help me water the garden?" And anybody who's got kids knows where this ends, don't you? You've got two boys with a hose. They were soaked. She was soaked. We were soaked. My daughter turned up to pick us up, pick them up. I just looked at us. Rolled her on. Said, "You need to give me money so I can buy some clothes from the Oxfam shop, because I'm going to take them shopping and they're soaking wet." But everybody was just hysterical with laughter. You cannot, can it? Nobody can be sad, you know, when there's two little boys running amok with a hose pipe. You know, everybody was laughing. It was, you know, everybody will remember that day.
The moral of the tale is, don't give children a hose pipe, right?
Well, make sure you're standing behind them. You know where it went, don't you, straight away? But everybody was glad they were there. You know, it was just hysterical.
And it must have been lovely to hear laughter. Yeah. You know, in that space, that environment, people personal challenges, issues, to just hear laughter.
Yeah, and someone came up to me at the end and said, that was great, Andy, bringing them. It just made all the difference.
Yeah.
It just raised me up, made you think there is life, isn't there?
Yeah, without
question.
I mean, I'm fascinated by this whole kind of club, because there are so many components, Andy. You know, it's the physical activity, it's the space, it's the fresh air, it's the connection with nature.
Yeah.
It's talking and being with like-minded people. You're obviously a very close-knit group of individuals who've come together.
Yeah. I think it's a hard core of people. I like to try to go every week, and other people do as well. Other people can't make it, or they drop in and out, but they're always welcome. You know, you say to people, you know, come in and see the garden, you know, drop in and have a cup of tea. You don't have to do any digging, drop in and have a cup of tea. And people come and go, you know. We've got a wheelchair user who's been a couple of times because she's got other things on. There's guys who've come in, spent quite a lot of time there, but now they've moved on. They've taken something from it. You know, they were living in a hostel, and this was part of their rehabilitation, if that's the right word, you know, of coming to terms with where they are now. You know, they've come in, they've moved on, they've got flats.
I think it's really poignant what you've just said. I mean, obviously, for you, it's very much, you look forward to it week in, week out. It's part of your, as you said, your routine.
Yeah, it's an anchor.
And others have taken something, and that's special. Yeah. And then they've left with that. You can't you can't bottle that, Andy.
No. And, you know, have people laugh for the first time. Mm. You know, people say, that's the first time in 2 years I've laughed. That's you can't put a price on that, can you?
No. So finally, what does active together mean to you then? Your own personal kind of perception of it?
In a lot of ways, it's just sort of almost given my life back. I've got that meaning now to you know, there's an anchor in the week, there's a Thursday. You have things to do. You know, it's, I don't know, it's just giving me that purpose, that meaning back.
Well, I tell you what, when I'm going down the M4 next, I'm going to call you and I'd like to come and see. I'm not very good at gardening. Don't give me any responsibility in any way, because Becky would probably tell me off because I don't know a weed from a flower. But I'm going to come. I'll come with the chocky biscuits and you can bring a cuppa and I'll come and see you. And thank you so much for giving your own personal story, which is a wonderful thing that's going on in Wiltshire. You take care of yourself and thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll hold you to that. Thursdays, Salisbury, bring the biscuits.
You're listening to the Active Together podcast, brought to you by Get Out, Get Active, also known as GOGA.
If this story has inspired you, remember, it's not about what you do or how much you do. It all counts to get out and get active. And if you're part of an organisation wondering what you can do to help others to get active, visit getoutgetactive.co.uk, where you'll find lots of information and resources to help get you started.